This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey. Call the cops.
This level of foolishness, hey. Enjoy.
Houston, we have a dog.
Now watch this drive.
Great ass.
Hey. Damn it.
Shisha.
Sicario.
Bruce fucking Springsteen.
Damn it. Hey.
People are gonna die.
Yeah, baby.
But as I'm leaving, I see the back of where they're doing the meal ready, the food ready for the governor's ball.
Yeah, yeah.
I see a big tray. I'm like, I'm leaving here with something. You know what I mean? I'm from around the way. I'm leaving with something.
Christ died. Christ rose again, but before he did, he said, I'm leaving here with something.
I'm here with something.
And that's salvation. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
Caroline.
We're here to have good Christian fun.
I'm leaving you with nothing.
Our guarantee and our promise is, as a listener, you'll listen to this podcast and at the end of it say, I'm leaving here with nothing.
Less than nothing.
That was Denzel. That was Denzel Washington talking to Jamie Foxx on his YouTube channel.
Jamie Foxx has a YouTube channel?
Or no, I think it might have been some other...
were guests on some other YouTube
I think
franchise.
He was hosting a thing. I don't understand Jamie Foxx's career. And he was sick and in the hospital recently, so we wish him well.
Get better soon.
Sorry for a tentative, we wish him well. But you know who does have a YouTube channel?
Who?
America's Funniest Woman, Brie Larson.
That's
has
right.
a YouTube channel.
Brie's online.
And Food is Fun with Brie. Did you watch Fast X?
No, I haven't.
Abominable.
No,
and
really?
I like those movies.
Yeah, you do.
But her specifically, abominable in that franchise.
We need to work with her. That something is happening.
We do?
Yeah.
You and I?
Yeah.
Why?
To finish her.
Yeah,
her career.
I guess so.
No, there needs to be something done. It needs to turn around because I fear she may be entering flop. And that is simply...
Entering flop.
Not... Right.
Oh, man. I mean, we
flopped herself.
We recognize her as a sort of peer. She does have a podcast of her own called Learning Lots. Join Brie Larson and Jesse Innes for Learning Lots. This podcast will hold space for conversations and perspectives around education and pop culture. And if that doesn't give you a hard out, I don't know what does. I'm getting that term right, right?
That's right. So, I can start this podcast. I have a hard out at 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I will be then opening TikTok.
That's right. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music and the movies and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. But we're not here to make fun of you.
We're not here to make fun of you.
We're not here to make you go to church.
Not once.
Not once. We're just here to have good Christian fun. And we're once again doing the hunt for the worst Christian song of all time. This time... It's I'm a Christian edition. Is that what I called it in the notes?
Yeah, that's exactly
it. It's the I'm a Christian edition.
I'm a Christian.
Where we take two songs that are loudly and proudly proclaiming the Christian faith and saying, which of these is the best? Which of these is the worst?
I love it.
We will find out. And it's possible that a former guest gave me the idea for one of these songs very recently. But before we get to that, we do need to introduce our very special guest, friends and folks, back after a 6-year self-imposed hiatus. You may know her from her show, Resident Alien, or her own podcast, Mostly Fans. Give it the hell up for Alice Wetterland.
Wow.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
Dun, dun, dun.
You thought I wouldn't be back, but I'm back.
No, please. Please don't come back.
Time to have me back.
on this podcast that you know.
Oh, wow.
You didn't think I'd come back into your life, but here I am. It's time for the show.
So, and for those that don't know, Alice isn't putting on a voice. She's aged significantly since the last time we saw her.
Happened.
You wish I didn't age, but I aged so fast.
People didn't want her to age.
No one did.
She did.
Least of all me.
Is there anyone that you wish wouldn't age in life? Let's go through our top five of I wish this person wouldn't age.
Ooh, great question.
I mean, for you, I would imagine your sweet hubby, so you can get all
Fanning?
The time in the world with her.
Exactly.
For Alice, I would imagine it's Elle Fanning.
Yeah, I guess, right? We got to keep somebody young.
Sure.
Elle Fanning should remain young.
Yeah, let's just preserve. I would preserve her
in
stasis.
Her.
Little mm-hmm. sister yeah. forever.
Little sis forevs.
Mm-hmm. Help. Help Fanning.
Hi, guys.
Do y'all watch The Great? Hey, thanks for coming
back. I do watch
back.
The Great.
Is it?
Yeah, I haven't. What?
Is it?
Have you seen
The
it?
Great?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
It is wonderful. I love mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Jesus.
What? I'm just asking.
You're the third degree.
I just wanted to know.
Yeah, it's probably one of my faves. Yeah.
Wow. One
really,
of your
I
faves.
I really like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
It's nice when you see an actor find their perfect. It feels like Nicholas Holt has found his perfect character to play. And in this, in the character of Alec, whatever the guy's name is that he plays.
Your Cold favorite one? Show.
Well, he's like the king in
Mr.
this.
Mr. King.
And he's
He plays
awesome.
Mr. King on The Great.
Mr. King. And he sucks. And he's like, this king is like, he's a terrible king. And he's like.
Peter the Third of Russia?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's great at this character. Yeah, okay. I love Nicholas
Holt. I like
Nicholas
Holt so
yeah.
much.
Yeah. Well, you'll really like Nicholas Holt if you watch this show.
Oh.
Yeah. He's in his, I don't know.
Divvies?
He's in his king era.
Oh.
Not Nick in his king era. I know he's found his little lane as playing smarmy little shit heels, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
him in The Menu,
yeah,
and then in Mad Snacks for
Reach
Out. I didn't
Chode. Love The Menu.
Sure,
yeah,
that was a polarizing.
I don't like being made fun of directly.
Wait, what's this now?
I don't like being made fun of directly.
You felt made fun of.
I don't like look
because of your exorbitant wealth and your
and my high end food experience,
right?
You know.
You call yourself a foodie?
I've been to Blue Hill at Stone Barns, mm-hmm. which is like basically what that is, where you go and it's like, you know, you got to make the reservation years in advance and you go and there's like, it's a very special food experience. You're like, you're in the church of food.
Do you know this place?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Speaking of churches.
They got that little carrot. They're like, this is the most carrot.
Yeah, this carrot is doing the absolute most. Yeah, my
Are you
mom.
Watching VeggieTales?
I went with my mom, and I just talked about this earlier on another podcast. And
okay, well, let's not bring that up right now.
I went with my mom and her friend and my stepdad, and they invited us. Every table gets to go on a little adventure.
What?
So they say one of your like 12 servers comes to your table and goes like, "Do you guys want to go on a field trip?" And then you put your bag down on its bag stool, and then you get up and you go to like the greenhouse or the butcher or the cheese house mm. where
Ooh,
they make the cheese.
Did you have one you really wanted to go to?
They did. They took us into the kitchen, and all of the servers, when you get
Whoa.
Up, when they go to take you to the kitchen, they all line up like Gosford Park or
Downton Abbey,
Downton
Abbey, and stand in a line. And then you walk past them into the kitchen, and they made a table on a butcher block, and you can like watch people, the food artists,
mm-hmm.
do their food art. And it was spectacular.
I think they identify as creators.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Sandwich artists.
Foodfluencers?
Fuck.
They're influencing the taste in your mouth.
They are. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes.
My tongue gave them a lot of likes.
So I would.
Licks and likes.
I understand Describe. Why you would have a hostility towards. Yeah.
No, movie. I just felt like this show was kind of like. It's like Succession.
The
where
show?
It's like, why are we watching? I'm sick of watching rich people
okay.
be fucking
so
shitty.
So you want to watch poor people be fucking shitty? Yeah. Me too.
Show
let's,
that.
Let's do it. Come
I
on.
Guess it's just always
we
sunny in
know.
Philadelphia. Yeah. It is a we've talked about this before of like we're reaching peak saturation of hashtag eat the rich content with Triangle of Sadness.
Well, and I'm
obviously
I'm like,
sucky sucky menu.
I'm super all into eat the rich, but like who needs convincing at this point that we have to continuously I feel like we're glorifying. You know
the
what I
rich?
Mean? Yeah.
I don't, in what sense?
Like Succession, nobody who watches Succession that thinks that's like on the fence about whether or not rich people, you know what I mean? Like people, I heard this like, somebody was talking about on some show I listened to that how people are like, there's people unironically like Logan Roy for president, you know, like they think that guy is great.
I've never seen this on my timeline.
Human beings have, I don't know if you know about this, like a penchant for amorality. Mm-hmm. And watching Big Dick Swinging Logan Roy going around owning people left and right, people like that guy, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, we elected Trump. So it's like, I feel like
we did
watching this type of person, and like, I feel like, it's, you can't help but glorify, you know, unless it's mm-hmm. like, it's not a full assault. You know what I mean?
It's not a full of salt.
It's not a full assault.
Assault.
Oh, I thought you said a full, like a little calf or full.
Mm-hmm. I know what
and
you
then
thought.
Well, this is the thing that they're saying at Michelin restaurants these days, so it makes sense.
Yeah, I was kind of a menu brain when you said that.
I have a heart out. conversation.
That's disgusting. Don't well, say like, that to me. You have a heart out right now?
I have a semi out.
That's the thing with satire is a lot of the time it doesn't work. Yes. People just are like into the thing that they're supposed to be making fun
my
of.
My grandparents, may they rest in peace, watching the Colbert Report and being like, yeah.
I love this guy.
It was
guy.
An episode
exactly,
of On the
yeah.
Media. Yeah, yeah. It was an episode of On the Media, and they were talking about how like Archie Bunker, you know, was like this. In the end of every episode, yeah, he got owned by the person he was being racist against, but throughout the episode, you started to love him, and he's like this bigoted character. And so is it really... what is it a commentary on when you eventually are like, oh, Archie Bunker, he's okay, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting interrogation.
Shiv is just a lovable old fool.
Yeah, yeah, we get it. Mm. It's like, well, we shouldn't get it.
Well, we'll watch that instead of doing any kind of actual revolution.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
Can't do the protest on Sunday night.
It's so much easier.
Got new HBO Max content.
Yeah, I wonder, it is an interesting proposition to think, oh, is this the media equivalent of New York Times doing a profile story of like,
there we go.
What about the Rust Belt people who nailed don't know it. What's going on?
Yeah.
And like
every week
imbuing humanity to people that are, you know, actively or passively destroying good life.
Yeah. Whereas I like what The Daily Show does when they go around and interview them and just absolutely make them look like fucking dumb.
Do they
idiots.
Still do that?
Yeah, I think the Jordan and Klepper thing they keep doing is great. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, he's funny.
That's great. Like, these people are fucking lazy. Like, either they're intellectually lazy or they're just dumb and they don't care.
Dexter's ears perked up as if you were talking about him. He's like,
I
whoa,
said
whoa.
Intellectually lazy? And your dog, like, what? I heard my name. And you're like, okay, well.
Woof, woof.
Really your fault.
Damn.
Forever.
Dexter.
Raggy.
God, he can't speak full English yet.
Rot rakes. I'm so
awful.
Glad he can't speak
thank
as well.
God.
Well, thanks for coming
if
back.
Walls could talk. Yeah, thank you for
it's
having
me. It's been 6 GD years.
I know.
Isn't that funny?
It's
do you remember
hilarious.
What we did? I want to see if you remember what we did last time you were here.
We went to see the movie.
Yeah. Do you remember the name of the movie?
No. God, I don't remember the name of it. I don't remember the
star.
It
was the star.
Yeah. We went to see it in theaters somehow.
Yeah, we went to the Americana.
I remember
and
it
they
very
showed
clearly.
It in
yeah,
theaters,
that donkey
which blew
movie.
My mind. Of all the, like, every time I pitch a movie, they're like, we can't see it. And I'm like, well, it's just on the star, so that's weird.
The star is a movie that...
Theatrical release.
I want to say though, Oprah Winfrey was in this movie. Wasn't she?
Yeah, I oof. Think so.
Yeah, it was Oprah, Tyler Perry, Patricia Heaton, Kelly Clarkson, Zachary Levi, Caroline, Gina...
Little did we know how he'd come back to bite us in the ass later. Speaking of...
He would come back. Tracy Morgan, Ving Rhames, A.D. Bryant. A.D. Bryant. Oh
my God.
Mariah
I mean,
Carey.
A real money grab from all these people. I think they deserve.
No. They did it out that Joel Osteen was in as well. Forgot about that. Hey, good drag, a good drag name, Holostein. Have I said that before?
Osteen?
I think I have, yeah.
I mean, if you haven't yet.
Is that good?
I've got a hard on.
Nice.
And that's okay. We're going to get you out in time, like you just said, because you have a hard on it.
I have
like
a hard
eight,
on
right?
it, yeah.
Great. Well, how have our lives changed in the last 6 years? Spiritually, morally, socially, virtue, vice, whatnot.
It's been a busy 6 years, right?
Yeah.
In terms of a lot of things.
Have
your hair is red. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And carpet.
Big.
Matching the drapes. And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I do comedy now, so.
You do comedy.
We were always telling you, you need to do comedy.
Get up there.
She finally got in there.
I should have a special on Amazon.
Finally got up there. Immediate special.
No. Do you feel like you've had any evolution in the last, since we saw the star?
Or has it all been done?
Yeah, well,
quite a long time.
I mean, I know you measure time for yourself in that way, like pre-star, post-star.
Pre-star, post-star.
In terms of like your own growth.
No, I mean, like, not really, like spiritually, not really. I was a spiritual person then. I got sober 7 years ago. So I had to, they like gently encourage you to believe in God.
Was that 7 years ago?
Yes, queen.
Wait, what year was that?
2016.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That was 7 years
But, ago. You know, Trump was elected and then we knew what that was. And yeah, we had your, I mean, what? I started my podcast, my second podcast, but I was doing treks at that point.
You're doing treks. You're doing mostly fans. Yeah. The new
I wasn't
one is
doing
mostly
fans.
I just you were doing Maisel Goys, which is coming back any day now.
Any day.
It feels like.
I mean, it is. We know what day.
Right?
It feels like it's coming back.
Have you started getting tweets or like little DMs?
I met
being like,
a person in like in person who was like, I got some opinions about Maisel. I was like, okay.
Said, people are stirring.
Like Garrett, go to bed.
Garrett was like, knew someone who's a fan of me. And I was like, a fan of me? That's so cool. And then she was like, I have some opinions about Maisel. And I was like, oh, okay. That's what you're a fan of. It's not quite.
And that is what we're gunning for, is to become the walking embodiment of like a suggestion or sort of comment box. So when you see us, like, don't see us as people. Put in your opinion.
Skip the pleasantries.
Yeah.
Jump to
write your comic card.
I feel good that I've represented myself well in that arena. but yeah, I've been on Resident Alien. I got, I live with my partner Garrett now, and we moved into the house that I bought. That's something that happened.
Baby.
I purchased a home.
Amazing.
A temple of your own, a sort of spiritual structure.
Every
Caroline.
Home, yes,
is making gestures
where God dwells.
Exactly,
yeah, it is. And I went in the attic to see if he's there, and
cozy. So that's, you know, I did a weekend. I was excited to talk about this. I did a weekend in Texas recently.
Is this when you texted me and you were so stoked?
When?
I don't know, like a couple weekends ago.
I guess so. What did I say?
Well, tell
say?
Me about it.
Well, I don't know what I said in the text.
Well, I don't know what you said in the text, but I think you were very...
Forgettable text either way, it seems.
Well, I just like to be randomly stoked about something.
How did your shows go, buddy? Dude, they were insane. You got to come back on the pod.
Yes.
I'm back in LA.
Oh, yeah. That's
they were insane. What was insane about them?
Well, I'm excited to talk about them here on GCF because there was a moment with a Christian person. And I have to say, like, to be fair to the Texas audiences...
What city?
Austin.
Okay.
Especially Austin audiences. My set right now, my new material is an amalgamation of everything that might piss off somebody in Austin. So like I cover abortion, drag queens, trans kids, tech bros, religion, specifically Christianity, like all of the things. So like,
hate and queso.
There's no, no way you're going to come to my show. Like, it was just like, and I knew that this weekend was going to be a bunch of randos because the club wasn't able to sell tickets for my show specifically. So they had to comp a bunch of people, which was demoralizing and made me very upset. And like, I was really worried about it. I was like, oh God, because now they're going to tell the other clubs that I can't. You know, it's like, I don't really have enough of a fan base from Resident Alien to tour. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And then I got to the club and there was like a TikTok person in the main room. And the comedians at the club were like, yeah, it's like a lot of TikTok people coming and headlining now. It's not really.
Oh.
Yeah. So I talked to my agent about that and stuff. And so we're kind of coming up with a plan. But
and the TikTok people are what? People specifically whose medium is TikTok or stand-ups who do the crowd
their
work, clip outs, and then. Okay.
Yeah. It's not. My manager represents people who are comedians that are popular on TikTok, but they're stand-ups.
Mm-hmm.
But they became popular because they have clippable stuff that they...
Right.
But these people, in the main room that weekend were like, it was just a person who's popular from being on... like being like, hey, what's
TikTok.
Up?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and so...
Hey, that sounds like me.
Strange to me because I was like, oh, so this is what it is now. Like, this is who our competition is and I don't have that. So I was kind of not stoked going to these shows. And the second night, a guy walked out because he was mad at the tech bro stuff. And then the first show, and then the second show, there was two girls who were heckling
cups?
The like lots. They okay. were heckling.
That's good.
The MC. Like, okay. immediately started Jeez. To talk back.
Like bachelorette party vibes?
Yeah, but there okay. was only two of them.
Okay.
You know, and they were very, like, the very pick me, you know, like, just, I don't know how else to describe them. Just, like, just dressed, contoured makeup, the whole thing. And then I was like, these girls are not here for me, you know? And their vibe was just very, like, you know, everything. And they were heckling the MC, and the MC had a joke about wage equity and how she wants men to pay for her drinks. And they were like, I just like paying for things myself, like apropos of, and it was like, yo, dog, like, cool. That's not. And then they started heckling my opener. And at that point I was like, okay, it's on. They're going to say something. And so immediately they started, you know, and they were really drunk at this point. And I was like, what's that? And the girl goes, my friend doesn't like you, but it's okay. And I'm like, oh, they're wasted. And I said, oh, okay. Well, it's not okay because you're talking. So you got to get out of here. Yeah, you're going to leave? Okay, great. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Aren't you the girls who like paying for things yourself? And I was like, okay, great. Well, congratulations because I get a cut of that. And everybody's like, ooh. And then I did a little ditty about how everybody in the club hates them. And it was really fun because... they were leaving and the whole crowd was like on board, you know, like they were.
Point.
Yeah, yeah. It's really fun to do that because mostly comedy audiences, unless you're just eating a dick the whole time, they are so annoyed when people are talking.
Yeah.
And so they get really on board when you kick people out, especially like bully them on the way out. It's like, yeah, fuck yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I did that. So I kind of had the crowd on my side, but then I go into my religion bit and I could feel them tightening up. And all weekend this had been happening because there were, I could tell, like churchgoers in the crowd. And the people, what happens is, like, the people who are fine with the bit are nervous because the people that they see near them are not fine with the bit. And it poisons the vibe.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so
which
they
might even be their friend that they brought or something.
Right.
Too.
It's totally yeah. like, it's mm-hmm. it's one of those things where it's like, I wanna laugh, but like, Ma and Pa are right over there, and right. I don't wanna, you know. And so this time it was their Ma and Pa were like right up front. And I was like, I can feel y'all getting like really uncomfortable. And this girl was like, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, so you're uncomfortable. What's the deal? Let's talk about it. And she's like, no, just move on. And I was like, oh, can't move on because everybody knows you're upset. So we got to talk about it. And I just leaned in and I had this, what I felt like was a very respectful conversation with her because to me, you know, my jokes are evolving right now. And I don't want to alienate people who are like your listeners. You know what I mean?
Wait, who do you think our listeners are?
Well, if you're like you guys, like
Ma and Pa.
No, like you guys.
Pee-pee and poo-poo.
Like cool people who are Christian or identify as people who, you know, maybe they're not like every Sunday, every Wednesday night people, but sure. like.
But some people who still go to church.
Who still go to church yeah. mm-hmm. and celebrate your high holidays. And have a good relationship with the church because it's not like, the thing is, I know Christians also because of AA, like I know there's a ton of people out there who are like, yeah, we just like love Jesus and we don't want trans kids to kill themselves. Like we don't partake, you know, like,
partake,
and
yeah.
there's this very loud Christian minority who are kind of repping and not in a very favorable way.
Right.
This whole vast swath, right? And they're mostly white and they're super loud and often deranged. And like, I feel bad. Like, I'm like kind of trying to craft this bit around like, it must be fucked up for you guys who are like, hey, what about if it's good to just maybe just the Bible sometimes, and then somebody's like, I want all trans kids to kill themselves. And you're like, okay, but we're not the same. You know, it must be right. shitty. And so the woman's just like really pushing back, you know, and I was like, what's the deal? And she's like, I don't think it's cool to make fun of God. And I was like, oh, okay, totally. I get that. But I did say at the beginning of this bit that I believe in God. Did I not? And somebody in the back goes, yep, you did. And I was like, all right, okay. But, you know, but she's uncomfortable. So let's like, let's hear her out. Her opinion's valid. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, even though you didn't come here to see me. And I said, look, you know, I believe that your views are sacred to you. Like that's something that is for you to have. And it's not for me to say what you believe in. Right. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yes. And I was like, and you probably feel the same way about me, right? My views are sacred for me to have, you know? And she was like, mm-hmm. And I go, okay, well, that's great. Then we are simpatico, but the loud people on the TV, they're not saying that. They're not coming at me with the everybody can believe what they want type shit. They're coming at me with the, you know, the Constitution's going down, the 10 deadly, you know, the whatever,
the 10 deadly
the commandments,
sins.
The 10 deadly
the
commandments.
Yeah.
So deadly are going
kill,
up.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, you get kicked out. You know what I mean? Like you have to conform to our beliefs. Otherwise you are literally a demon and we're trying to legislate that, you know, that type of thing, which is not really, I feel like what you're saying you believe. And she was like, okay, you know, and then I was like, an abortion. And then she just got up. Oh, and she left and everybody, it was fun. And I did a bit about how, what if she's a rep for Dillard's? And cause I had this whole thing about Dillard's. And everybody loved it, and we had a great time. And then I had this thing where I was like, if anybody in this crowd at this moment, like, I'm going to give you a go. There's only 15 minutes left more of the show. If y'all want to go, it's totally anybody here who feels like, say, a rape victim should have to carry their baby to term. Anybody here believe that? Now's your chance. You don't have to be here, you know? And it was very fun, and, like, even though dark subject, it was very, like, you know. And then I found out she went outside and was talking to the wait staff and said that she hopes I burn in hell.
Whoa.
Which to me is so like, no chill, you know, like just like, okay,
damn.
Wow.
At least chill.
You
oh my
know,
gosh.
Like, it's just, like this to me is not representative of the Christians that I know and grew up with mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. And the Christians that are my friends, it's not representative of that. You know,
right.
This is not a Christian philosophy. This is an alt-right conservative philosophy
right.
that like, maybe parades under the banner of like, oh, and we go to church and therefore we're better than you type shit. Which is not really, that's not really faithful. That's not a faith. That's mm-hmm. not a spirituality.
It's
you know?
To me, it's like a similar thing when they were protesting at the NFL and Colin Kaepernick was like protesting mm-hmm. and everyone said, when you disrespect the flag, you disrespect veterans. And it's like, why are those the same thing? In the same way, right. I feel like when people hear like making fun of extremist Christians or whatever, they're like, you're making fun of God. You
yeah.
know, like they really
it's a real
have started
A to,
to
equate. It's an A to D.
It's an A to D, yeah.
yeah.
like, and it's like, I
get so that
any,
you feel attacked.
Any joke around that area mm-hmm. becomes like, you're not only attacking God, you're attacking Jesus Christ, the baby version and the adult version yeah. and the one on the cross
yeah.
and me personally and my mom. You
well,
know, like
the,
it's all
the me
very personally.
Personal.
Yeah.
It's the me personally. Because mm-hmm. what it is I'm attacking, she's feeling attacked because she knows she participates in extremist politics that are not something that the Bible told you to do.
Right.
And she deep down probably knows that. And they all, I think they all, if they have their wits about them, know that. And so they feel they have to be like, it's giving very protest too much, you know, like, well, I have to now say you're against God because I have God on my side. And it's like,
right.
you don't have God on your side.
Right.
Not according to what
I all have God.
Not according to my Sunday school lessons. You know, I'm sorry, yeah. you don't. Like, so you're sitting here trying to say that I'm making fun of God and the rest of the room is like, no, she's not. You know?
Exactly.
The Lutherans are like, I think it's fine.
Yeah. you know?
I guess I didn't dig in when you said they were insane. I didn't say, how so? I guess that's how they were.
Yeah.
When you said your shows
well,
were insane.
That, but to me, what happened was like insane for me in a good way because I don't feel like I would have had the experience of elucidating my views and doing it in a fun way to this extent if I'd have sold tickets for a show that was only people to see me.
Sure.
Nobody would have heckled in that way. We wouldn't have had to get to those deep topics. We wouldn't have had to conduct an entire like liberal arts class,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that way, if I'd have sold ticket, like, so for me, it was like, it went from demoralizing to a place where I felt like I proved to myself who I am as a comedian, because I've seen so many comics get to that point where somebody's like, nope, not a topic I will allow you to go into. And the comic has two choices. You can back off or you can lean in. And I was like, to me, it's important in this day and age where we're at, especially physically in Austin, Texas, to say everywhere else that you are right now is a place where it's okay to be fascist, it's okay to be homophobic, it's okay to be misogynist and harmfully racist, and there's no consequences for it. And in this room for the next 45 minutes, there's going to be consequences. I want y'all to feel that that's true here. And secondly, it's going to be fun. Like, I'm going to show you what it looks like to support trans people. And it's so much more fun than not. I'm having so much fun supporting trans people. I'm having the time of my fucking life. It's so fun. Drag queens are so fucking fun, and they're not indoctrinating anybody, and it's great, and it's a fucking party, start to finish.
They just need to meet Joel Osteen, and their minds will be changed.
Well, and we're working on it.
Yeah.
Do you think your jokes have changed since that conversation with that woman?
Not.
Or do you plan on it, I guess?
No. I mean, if anything, I found that maybe. Because for me, it's like you have to be specific with your wording when you touch on a topic that's going to make somebody feel personally attacked, and sure, they will. You need to be specific and you need to be careful with your words, but you also can't back off. It's really important not to go like, let's not, it's almost irresponsible to this sacredness of the subject matter to go in halfway. You have to be like very clear about, this is what the joke is about. This is where the punchline is at. This is why we are all laughing together or not about this thing. Like, this is what's funny. That's all really important. And it's important for me to show that, like, I'm really comfortable talking about this so that other people don't feel like, if they agree or they don't agree, they don't feel like it's like, you know, like, it's, as a comedian, it's really important for people to feel like you're confident. You know, I'm chill. Mm-hmm. Anything that happens here, I don't care what you do. You know what I mean? Like, you can throw a drink at me, it's going to be fine. Like, we're going to have a party no matter what. You know, they have to know that. So it's in the writing where you've established the foundation of that, being able to have that confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not like, I'm not just making fun of Christians because they're a punching bag or because that I think people who are faithful are dumb, you know, or whatever. Yeah.
If I was like, hitting, say, a newsboy. You know,
hey.
No. I mean, like, these people who are, you know, deranged, we'll say, like, these people who are saying insane things that honestly the vast majority of people don't agree with. I mean, I don't have statistics to back this up, but like everything I've read says that, like, by and large, the majority of people, even Christians, don't care that much about the stuff that, like, you know,
right.
It's like, obviously, people who are pro-life care deeply about abortion, but I have pro-life people in my family who do not espouse, you know, the viewpoints that a lot of these legislators seem to espouse. So it's about that. And it was interesting for me to be in a crowd where it was like, okay, a lot of these people might either be Christian themselves or be in a family that's predominantly Christian and don't want to make fun of that. And so it's important always, but it's important for me to like not, I'm not making fun of that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there to, because to me, there's nothing there to make fun of.
And
you know what I mean?
And it feels like what you're describing
too. There's nothing fun, like it's not fun.
Yeah. There's inherent challenge that you're describing and like the dimensions of it. And what it means to do a show like that where it is a sort of explicit confrontation, but then there's another angle to it as well, where, and if this feels like a theme that comes up a lot with everybody that we talk to, in the sense of their unpacking or deconstruction or they're leaving or they're rebuilding or whatever, is the sense of permission that is inherent with that as well, where it's just a permission that people may or may not feel. The permission kind of becomes the confrontation in a way, where it's like, oh, you don't have to believe exactly this, or like, your performance of faith or your expression of faith may not be something that was given permission to in a previous context or in your, you know, anecdotal day-to-day life. And to see a kind of loud and flamboyant act of like defiant permission, which is not to say like you guys are stupid, F you, but in the sense of this is actually a viable, tenable way of living life, whether it's in your stand-up or what other people do and, and whatever their work is, where it's like, oh, you could actually do this and you would be fine. I feel like that's the core quality that feels most healing to people, I think, because it is like, oh, if I leave the church, then I won't be friends with the people that I love or care about. Well, what if your friends left the church with you and you found permission in a different way? Or, oh, if I do this, then my family is going to sort of be tense or excommunicate.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. But then also there's this other path that you could find as well, where you can still love your family and be in relationship with them at the same time. So I feel like sort of moments like that and whether like there's that person who said that they hope that you would burn in hell, but then there's other people that you don't understand and you may not know whether or not, where it's like, oh, you might have given them explicit permission, you might nudge them a little bit on the spectrum with something like that and help push them into whatever it actually is that's going to be sustainable for them, life-giving for them.
I like to think of it as like food for thought, like, you know, body of Christ for thought.
Yeah.
Like it's
actually, hang on, could you keep my Savior's name out of your fucking mouth?
Just a big bitch slap.
Keep my Savior's name
out your mouth. So,
1 year later, still funny.
So other people who you've heard talk about this on this show, like that have this kind of, can you reiterate what you said again? Because I didn't quite understand the first part. It was so too smart for me. The TV turned on. Oh, yeah, Kevin's TV is too big.
Can you put on something interesting while I talk?
We're going to be watching Great News now.
Yeah. So man, Great News is so good. Anyone who hasn't seen Great News, there's a 2-season Tina Fey show starring Andrea Martin.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm going to watch it while I drive to my next thing.
You should. I love watching while driving. Okay. What, the question you were asking before.
Like, what do you mean people... I relate what people say to what you said. Like, what are people actually experiencing? What do they need a permission, or they're giving permission?
I think so. Well, I mean, there's people who are in creative arts and in adjacent roles like you, where they're like communicators, and then with a lot of their work, one of the MOs and things with it is that you want to give people, you want to hold space for people, but you actually do want to give people like a little bit of room of like, You were told a one-size-fits-all aesthetic. You were told an ethos of whether it's faith or literally the Bible as we understand it, where it's like, there's one way and like the path is narrow and you have to walk through a fucking needle, camel through a needle's eye, etc.
Right.
To get to what it is of objective truth in Christ. And you were told that to such a degree that the rigidity was actually like, you know, all the stuff we know and understand, where it was like, it was a form of control. It was, you know, patriarchal kind of groups understanding that and coming to the conclusion of like, we found out that the objective truth of this is this.
Yeah.
And that there's something very healing. And I'll relate to my own experience where it's like just meeting and understanding literally even the most basic 101 shit of, oh, this person contains more virtue and quality of character than the people I was told to aspire to. Why is that? And that is permission for a life of virtue in a context that may not be church at all, that may have nothing to do with Christ, that may have nothing to do with like deity or community. So that is.
And to me, that doesn't necessarily warrant leaving a church. That kind of perspective, like to me, it's like my experience of spirituality and my relationship with God or a higher power has proven to be incredibly freeing and very liberating, and maybe the most liberating thing I've ever experienced in my life. So to me, the more spiritual I have become and the more of a relationship with God I have, the more free and open I feel. And so I don't feel like So it does feel like a lot of people get trapped in an idea that is incredibly constricting, but like also like what you said about finding people in, like I've found people, let me try to figure out how to say this. Like I've found the most quote unquote virtuous people I know have, I do have a relationship with God because of the program for the AA, you know? And at the same time, a really important tenet of the spiritual experience in Alcoholics Anonymous is developing a relationship with a higher power of your understanding. And often they don't even say God. And the reason they don't say God for new people a lot of the time is because people have a really damaging relationship with the church. But what it's meant is that people can find their way back to the church sometimes, you know? Yeah. Like that to me is really beautiful and something that is like, that's when I said to that woman, like, these things are sacred to you. Like, that's how I understand them. I'm not talking out of my ass. Like, these are sacred. Like, I believe this is to your relationship with God is sacred to you. And it was so funny to have that be like a weird, like mic drop moment. Cause it really was in the moment, but it's like, oh, that's so crazy. Cause like to be able to say something like that to somebody who's really feeling threatened and have it be this like, fuck off moment. It's like, well, why are you then, lady? Why does that make you so offended? You know, because she got, obviously, we found out later, way more heated by the conversation than she did just by my jokes. And I don't believe that comedy should be this constant, like, you know, rally about our beliefs. Like, that's the other thing. I was like, oh, but I don't want to constantly, it needs to be fun and it needs to be funny and there needs to be punchlines. But at the same time, I need to be able to talk about this stuff in a way, like in the moment, you know?
Right. Well, and I think to reflect on what that woman may have gone through internally, the way I'm thinking about permission too is for people with the rigidity of evangelical culture and that flavor of the Christian church. And then it's like
the very bland flavor.
Yeah. But then it's like very deep, like relationship with patriotism and supremacy of perhaps white people in some ways in this country. And so when there is someone with a kind of clarion call of, I'm not saying God doesn't exist. I'm not saying God is not sacred. I'm saying your version of God is actually pretty small compared to what I'm talking about. That's always such a it's almost traumatizing, but in the sense of like how a person receives that and absorbs that can be like, well, wait, I can't keep pulling on this thread.
It's even like your version of God. I didn't even need to talk about her version of God. I'm like, your version of God can be as big or as small as you want it to be. My version of God, though, has this. These, you know, like my version of God is kind of this, but whatever you believe is fine. Sort of just like very undermining kind of this thing.
Right.
Like, that's cool for you. But what if everything was allowed? I don't know.
Right. But even the duality of like there could be multiple versions is... That's what that is. Where it's like, well, no, that's not. I know the.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you don't have the answers to the test. I have the answers to the
test. It's sort of like I was like, I believe that your beliefs are sacred. Do you believe that my beliefs are sacred and that I can believe what I want? And she had to say it in the moment because she's in a room full of people.
The real answer is
But the real answer is fucking no. Mm-hmm. And then
absolutely
she went outside. She's like, burn in hell. You know? Like,
well, and also the real answer of yours in some ways is also no.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I come across that
believe,
too as well.
If your belief means harm coming to people that...
I don't respect it.
Yeah.
Nor should I.
Yeah.
You know?
It's totally true. And I think actually my jokes, like to answer your question from before, have changed not since that, but this podcast and this conversation. Like I feel like this has given me so much more of a breadth of understanding of what this material is and could be. And, you know, if... Wow. Yeah. Like I feel like there's been this...
We're going to get additional material by credits, Caroline.
It might be credits for Caroline.
Wow.
Not credits for Caroline. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm going like, to now join the picket line because I haven't like been there. But now I will be making a sign. Yeah. I want my fair pay.
Nice. They're going to call you Carasign.
Finally, like, so you're like, please, a reason to join the picket. Like,
I've always been here.
It's back.
Can we talk about the pickets? It's a who's who.
Oh, it's...
My Instagram is like,
offline that conversation because there's too much to say.
Too much to unpack
about the vibe of like Paramount versus Disney versus Universal.
So
we cannot get into it.
We
now.
At GCF support unions always.
We support unions. We don't support David Zaslav. We do support the BU students that made him stop his speech in a way that was pretty funny.
So that's cool.
We don't know yet. We haven't talked if we support Max
not
or not.
Sure,
yeah,
not sure.
The rebrand.
Right.
Drop the HBO cleaner.
I'm not positive that I do support that or not. More info is coming
it's union
in.
Union members at against 11. The rebrand. Yeah.
But Alice, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, that's so really fascinating.
I was
story.
Like, this is perfect for GCF.
It is perfect. Thank
that's
you.
Why I made it all up.
Thanks. Oh, well.
Wait, what the? Okay, well.
You know what? We had fun along the way.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter.
I'm actually on meth right
it
now.
It felt true.
Not in recovery.
Oh, no.
So.
Well,
and on that note.
Let's keep riding that wave.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
Yee-haw!
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Thank you to Angie for sponsoring this HeadGum podcast. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well.
Indeed. So if you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need.
Yeah, doing stuff yourself seems fun, but then you actually get to, you know, solving a problem and you realize that you can create 10 more problems, and then you probably should have just paid a professional to deal with it right off the bat.
You can easily injure and or maim yourself as well.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No.
Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. You just get the app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. It's very convenient.
It sure is, folks, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that.
So download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com. Thank you, Angie.
Angie.com.
Thank you.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by See the Thing Is, another podcast.
We want to tell you about a podcast we think you're going to love. It's called See the Thing Is, and it's hosted by Grammy Award-winning R&B artist Bridget Kelly and media personality Mandy B. Every week, Bridget Kelly and Mandy B offer grown, honest, and slightly toxic perspectives on all things music, pop culture, and of course, dating and relationships, everyone's favorite topics. Do you have a hard time finding new music? Are you a millennial who misses what life was like in the 2000s? Are you interested in multiple perspectives on relationships and dating? Are you interested in a podcast that holds all genders to account? See, The Thing is a podcast that allows space for a wide range of thoughts and emotion. Most recently, the ladies have sat down with Ari Lennox, Van Lathan, and D-Ray McKesson. Join Bridget and Mandy every week as they update you on everything going on in the world with their polarizing hot takes. Subscribe to See the Thing Is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on YouTube. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Friday. Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for another edition for The Hunt for the Worst Christian Song. Wait, where the fuck is it? Where? Oh.
Hunting.
I'm hunting. Literal hunt. The Hunt for the Worst Christian Song of all time.
The worst.
The very worst. Yikes. Hunt for the Worst Christian Song of all time.
It's question season.
Atheist season. Fire. So Daffy is canonically an atheist?
Is an atheist.
I feel like Bugs is an atheist and Daffy's a... Damn.
Bugs is a nihilist, yeah.
And Daffy's like a little libertarian, maybe?
Yeah. Daffy goes to church like on Christmas and Easter. Otherwise, he's just angry and he's like pulling weeds from his yard. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other one.
Okay.
Gotta check it out more.
Hunt for the worst Christian song of all time. Squeeze time.
I don't like this one.
Jeez Louise. What if I talk like this for the whole rest of the episode? It's I'm a Christian edition. It's two songs boldly, loudly proclaiming
their faith. I am.
Much like that woman in the front row.
Dude, I was thinking so much about that when I was listening to these. I was like, yeah, because you have to say it. Like, mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to. It's giving. I'm not ashamed is giving ashamed.
She is being persecuted.
Yeah.
And it's so you like, have to declare.
Nobody's mad at you.
No one's going to make Peter's
We're
mistake again.
We're not mad
again.
About the Christian part. We're mad about the music part.
Wait, can I bring up something that's maybe one of the more common ways we probably see or confront this in our day-to-day lives? You know, there's a lot made on the right wing about like, oh, people who put pronouns in their bio, etc. People, you know, kind of blast that. How do you feel about people that put Jesus, Christ, Christian, Christ follower, any variation of that in their bio on social media?
As long as they could put his pronouns in there, I don't care.
So wait, put Jesus's pronouns in the bio.
Follower of Jesus,
and
he,
they capitalize he, him.
Capitalize.
His pronouns are he is risen.
His pronouns are he.
His pronouns are I am. I don't mind that as long as they're hitting that follow button on my Instagram.
Oh, girl, you got these. You got to get these numbers. I love it.
Caroline's somebody a little slut.
Pastor's
followers.
Welcome.
Bottom line.
Whatever juices the metrics, Caroline will take it.
How about Pastor Bot?
Girl.
Pastor Bot.
There's no purity test. Yeah. Exactly. Pastor Bot is welcome, as well as my beautiful Russian ladies from the north. You know?
I am very real. Don't worry. I am not
Jesus
fake.
Christ.
I've been having a DM. This is weird that you guys are talking about Russian bots, but I've been having a DM conversation with a real Russian woman in my DMs, and like it's getting
and
pretty.
She says I'm really hot.
She thinks I'm really hot. She always wants to talk and ask what I'm doing, and it's a little broken English, but I think that's just
is
a language she barrier
in
thing.
Russia?
That's so sweet.
Yeah,
oh, baby.
And she's asking for all sorts of like. She wants
promises
to know me.
Of marriage?
Well, no, she's asking
she
for
wants
like
your time.
She wants my time. She wants my energy. She wants like routing number and account number.
Honey. No. Yeah,
in
that's
a way
not
that I'm like,
for your bank.
But no woman's ever asked me that. Yeah, for my bank.
And so you're
kind of
like realizing
the
what
time
is
to get to know
you're kinda,
you.
That's a thing.
You're like looking out the window on a rainy day, going, "What is my routing number?"
Huh? Yeah, I've never thought about that until
do I have an HMO
Ivanka
or a PPO?
asked me.
Ivanka.
Gracious.
Beautiful Ivanka.
So we're talking about two songs, one by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, and one by a band called The Newsboys. Now, obviously, Alice,
you don't listen to Christian music in your day-to-day life.
No, had to quit cold turkey.
You had to quit? Wait, was there...
No, there was never a time.
Oh, when you went sober as well, so 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, I was addicted to Christian music. Yeah. It's addictively good.
It is. So I'm going to make it a dealer's choice as far as which of these songs that we play first.
Okay.
There's a song by Newsboys. There's a song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
What else do we call them?
Phillips, Craig, and Peen. Yeah.
Nice. How do we have something else for Phillips and Craig?
Phillip, Head, and Peen.
Phillip, Head.
I like it. I feel like Dean is always getting left behind.
Yeah.
It's like Phillips and Craig are here, and Dean's like in the background, like,
and Dean.
And real ones know.
Dean, you have to ride in the flatbed.
I'm team Dean. Alice is famously team Craig. And Caroline's actually team Phillips, which
the
I found
deaning.
Very surprising. Yeah, the deaning of this
Phil
music.
Phil hips.
Caroline, what do we play first? I'm Not Ashamed? Or
yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try to hit the goalpost for this. Do you know this term, Alice? This is the DJ radio patter over a song before the actual lyrics start. You try to see if you can time it as perfectly as possible.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'll do it for this one. You try to do it for the next one, though, okay? Right? So I'll do it for this. This is a song from 1992 by our band, The Newsboys. It's a song written by Steve Taylor, Splooge Boys, Peter Furler, and Steve Taylor. This is a song called I'm Not Ashamed. Coming at you at the top of the hour, this is your favorite Newsboys. They're bringing the good news to your doorstep on the paper, the Old Testament and the New, and that's printed in beautiful black ink and a little bit of red for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's their number one hit single, I'm Not Ashamed. I love this. You can do karaoke on Spotify.
Oh, nice. What are we sneaking around? Who are we trying to please?
Shrugging off sin, apologizing like we're spreading some kind of disease.
So funny.
One more verse.
This woman says it's a lost cause. Save your testimonies for church time. The other one stayed. You better wait until you do a little marketing.
What? My favorite line. That's my favorite line in this whole song.
Perfect.
It's
white.
Okay, I'm Not Ashamed. I'm Not Ashamed by Newsboys. Co-written by Steve Taylor and Peter Furler. Peter Furler, the baldy man. Who, that's right. Used to be the lead singer. Mm-hmm. Cousins with Sia, the recording artist Sia.
Wait, I thought the long-haired guy was Cousins
Phil
with
Joel?
Sia.
No, different.
That's amazing.
No, it's the Furler
Best
guy.
Best song use of the word, market research I've ever heard.
People are too scared to use that phrase.
But they're not ashamed.
But they aren't. That's right.
Steve Taylor, we've also talked about on the show. We had Scott Aukerman on to talk about one of his albums. And he also has worked with our friend James Austin Johnson, who was on the podcast a while back. Yes. So we have multiple connections to SNL. Sia famously was a musical guest when the real Donald Trump was the host of it.
Oh, that's true.
And I always remember because he went, thanks to Sia.
Oh,
during
my
the, like,
God.
Closing thing.
Everyone she looks, has to hear that echo in her mind every
thanks
night.
To Sia.
She goes to sleep.
Wow, that's she right. really does.
Damn it.
Yeah, and Steve Taylor was known for these semi irreverent lyrics like market research, etc. et al. This is a very dancey dance track in the club, 1992 style. Mm. Something perhaps you could bump to.
What club?
But what'd you grind to? The youth group club.
Okay.
First Episcopal club?
What club?
I don't. It's like that very 90s harpsichord. It's just a very 90s sound. Mm-hmm. Very late 90s, early aughts sound. I don't. Yeah, Y2K going at it. Very 98 degrees sort of. And it's repetitive. That's my main my main critique.
Your takeaway?
It's incredibly repetitive.
This song is 31 years old, and isn't it interesting?
And it feels
to
like
think?
It's 31 minutes long.
So. Okay. It's shocking to think this song is older than some of our listeners, Caroline. Some of our Gen Z listeners.
Not much, much older than me, too.
See, and that is what our voice sounds like because it's been so long. I'm not ashamed to let you know. I want this light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. And it gets into it. What are we sneaking around for? Who are we trying to please?
I liked this. I was thinking about this picture that they're painting. You know, what are we sneaking around for? Who are we trying to please? Shrugging off sin. So someone's offering them drugs. They're saying, I don't think so. Apologizing. Like we're spreading some kind of disease. So someone's proffering them cocaine. They're going, I don't know. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not saying yes. I'm a Christian.
That just,
what a story, you know?
To me, that really is like, I don't know if that's a really.
No one wants to be that guy.
I know.
That guy's disgusting.
Yeah, he's sick.
No one wants to be the guy who's at the party like, no, I won't have cocaine. I'm Christian. It's like, no, it doesn't matter what your reasoning is. Like, it's just rude at a party. You're just being rude
just
at a party now.
Hospitality.
If somebody's offering you sweet Colombian gold, you're like, no, I'm sorry. That's a normal reaction.
Exactly.
To someone offering you a party drug. It's okay to be like, sorry.
No, that's actually weak sauce.
Oh,
Alice,
okay. All right.
And you need to step up to right. the plate. It also cracks me up because as this was playing, I was thinking back, you know, oh, when I was a Christian and I felt like, oh, there's going to be so many times I'm going to be called to like be defensive, mm-hmm. you know, about being a Christian and like people are going to like come at me for it. Mm-hmm. And then I would feel ashamed if I wasn't like dominant, assertive about like my faith or whatever.
Oh, totally.
On my club volleyball team with right. a bunch of like mean eighth grade girls, you know, who do not care. But like the other thing I was thinking about is like, this is not a unique experience to Christians either. Like I'm sure people of many faiths, even the big ones, are like, yeah, I don't lead with the fact, you know, that like, hey, I'm Muslim, you know, because people yeah. have associations with any of these religions. So like it's not unique for Christians to be like a little shy about it.
Yeah.
But we center ourselves in everything.
And yeah. you should be a little shy. Everyone should be a little bit shyer. I think about everything.
Yeah.
But
it's sort of, yeah. It's also like it's painting the picture of a world in which you have to be ashamed for this. And it's like, you, like your eighth grade girls, like people don't care. Like
they do
no
not
one
care.
Is like, no one, right? Like most
people have enough manners to like not do that.
Fully. Yeah. Especially if they're getting to know you as a human being of yeah. other personality traits besides your faith, right? Like,
yeah.
do you imagine they're like, oh, you're Christian, but that doesn't track with all the other things. Like,
you know, I had this experience like over and over in college because I was in a sorority, but I was dedicated to being sober and being like very Christian, being mm-hmm. a light, and I was such a light.
Oh, I bet.
Oh God,
oh, I bet.
Was huge light. Light.
Huge light.
And now we've dimmed that light
perhaps
for seven consecutive years of podcasting.
Covered in mosquitoes, flies. But like it would happen, and it was like the moment I prepared for, and someone would very kindly offer me a solo cup of some gorgeous beverage, and I'd be like, no, thank you. And I wouldn't say why. And then they'd be like, oh, why not? Are you not drinking? Like, do you have something going on? I was like, oh, I just don't really drink. And then they would like be like, why? And then I would eventually maybe get to the point where I was like, well, I'm a Christian. I don't want to do that. And they'd be like, oh, good for you. Yeah. And that was it. That was like the end of the discussion. It was fine.
But there was
nothing to be ashamed of or a big deal at all. Often they were like, it was like as if I said I go to the gym six times a day. They're like, nice. Okay, yeah. great. That makes sense. Yeah.
But Caroline, you are speaking to the context of the 2010s. In 1992, there was blood in the streets.
There was war constantly.
I forgot about the riots.
Faith wars.
The solo cup riots.
Well, and the funny thing too, the solo cup riots, the context with this band too is that they're primarily Australian. Steve Taylor is an American songwriter, but it is like an Australian's understanding of it. And Australia has like a lot of, there's a
I
lot
thought
of global
most Australians' religion
them.
Was the seal of a screen. I thought most Australians believed in the sanctity of the theater.
The theater. I see.
When images come to life on a
heroes.
Screen. Heroes.
The best
heroes.
Of us.
That's their prayer. That's their like kind of Apostles' Creed.
That is the national religion. There's a small pocket, you know,
a little pocket of persecuted Christians.
Persecuted, so it's a lot of this, heavily.
And you're right, Caroline, in that it is hitting on, it is the ultimate answer to a question no one's asking.
Yeah,
of a song.
It's very much no one.
It's like,
it's like no one colon this song.
And on that note, maybe it's time to transition to our second song, which is simply called.
Okay, I'm gonna try.
Christian.
I know. I had a hard time searching this song Christian. On Apple Music. It's like,
not good SEO.
Christian song.
Oh no!
All right, I'm gonna talk about it.
But no, she's not ashamed. Alice, you want to try to?
I'm gonna try so hard.
Do you try?
I only listened once, so this is gonna be amazing.
That's
if
kind
I make
of the thrill
it.
Of it.
I guess so. All right, I hit my tooth on this microphone, so I'm not feeling so great, but you're about to be feeling great when you hear Christian from the band Trust. Meg Chaz Dean and Chaz Dean, that's who it is. So here you go.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Chaz Dean.
Chaz Dean, James Dean, and Howard Dean finally got the band back together.
Oh, oh my god.
That's not true. I'm just trying to get to this bridge right here. There it is. Oh, one more.
One more time.
Yeah, we know.
They're underlining it.
Yeah, we know. Yeah.
Woo.
It feels like
section.
More people are joining them
yes.
in the studio.
Yes, it does.
It does. All right.
Here we go.
They got Michael McDonald.
Okay.
I'll say it. Can I say it? Can I be the one to say it in the room?
Yeah, you can say
She's
it.
Feeling the spirit.
A straight up bop.
Yeah, 100%.
It slaps, dude. This song fucking slaps. And honestly, it's doing all the things right that the other song isn't doing. It's
Go
doing
off.
Everything right.
Go
First
off.
Of all, I love the Walking in Memphis Mark Cohn vibes.
Uh-huh.
Very. I also love the genre bending. It starts out and it's like, what is this jazzy piano doing in a country song? Oh, it's a gospel song? Am I listening to pop music today? It's just, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And then it also has, like what you said, the vibe of like people. I love a song. It's like people just, you could just see people joining. Like in the Cher, If You Believe in Life After Love video, uh-huh. where people start joining her like parade through New York City
exactly.
after 9/11.
People drop their groceries and
Wait,
jump
it was
in.
After 9/11?
Yes. Her music video was like a post. I think she like made the song and then was like, now it's about 9/11. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe no, it came out
Honestly,
prior to 9/11.
Smart for her.
No, I'm wrong. Because I realized now where I was on Earth when that song came out.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like it was really old. but
not what it was.
Now, but
sorry.
It came out in 1998. Like
my mind made it be.
It came out 3 years
My mind
prior.
Made the video be about 9/11.
Here's the thing is that it is a prophetic song about 9/11.
It's,
and that's Cher. She has that mind.
She has that power.
She knew something was coming.
She has that
Do
power.
Do you believe in life after 9/11? Let me give you hope.
Do you believe in life?
Do
you believe in 9 after 11?
Wow. That's what you can listen really closely. That's what she was.
You play it backwards. It does say
People
that.
Thought it was life after
11. It's gonna happen.
9 after 11. It's like that's what she was saying. I'm pretty clear about that.
Isn't that amazing?
Anyway, I love the feeling of everybody starting to like, they're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Let's join this song. And honestly, a little part of me, the part of me who was like, you know what, Irony? Take a back seat. The part of me was like, I'm proud. Like, I'm fucking, I'm down.
Whoa.
Like, I was like, yeah, this song wouldn't, if I'm a super cheesy Christian who listens to Mark Cohn, who like wears the absolute most pastels, you know what I mean? And that's my vibe. Like, I'm on the golf course, man. I listen to this shit in the shower.
Done.
Okay, then.
And the deal is sealed.
And I think that's awesome. Like, I want people to be pumped.
These guys always deliver like this, too. Like, honestly, they've got me, they could have me, like, goose-stepping in the street, honestly.
And you're not cheesy. You have, like, you're not a cheesy person. You have, like, an absolute, you know, you're not, like,
that kind. It's debatable, but thank you. But, yeah, even still, I was like, yeah, I would go for it.
Very well-developed.
I'm wearing a wolf shirt.
We've dimmed your light.
Yeah, but it's not cheesy.
We've dimmed your light.
It's not cheesy.
But anyway, yeah, that's the power of Chaz, and Dean.
Chaz, Dean. Howard, and James, Dean.
Chaz, Dean.
The thing that also is crazy is, like, it's so good, it makes me forget that they really go hard at people that are not believing in God. They're saying, basically, they're dead inside.
But I'm at least already there for the show.
Right.
And I was like, that was a bop. And then you're like, well, you're fucking going to hell.
You're,
and
I'm
like,
going to hell.
You
don't know how to love. You're confused. You don't even know that you're confused. But then they get you back on because they're like, no racists can come to the parade.
So that's
everybody's coming.
So that's like that.
Except the
like, that's like the meme of a girl dancing to super misogynistic rap lyrics. You know, where you're like, well, not talking about me.
It's
okay. Now surveys say the planet's got those spiritual blues. What do we define as spiritual blues? What is that?
I mean, it could be anything from I got nothing.
Everything that was going on pre 9/11,
it was spiritual blues.
Yeah,
anything that was like a little tough.
I think the 9/11
in the country
terrorists had a case of spiritual blues. Is that what you're saying, Caroline? Because we can print that right away.
That was the song they were singing as they flew into the North Tower.
I
no,
try not to
How
attack
you,
you know,
Chaz Dean's
the 9/11 terrorists, but I think they were a little down in the dumps.
That would be odd if you found out like after a horrific terrorist attack like that, and the terrorists were listening to Phillips, Craig, and Dean, and that would just mess you up. It was like,
I mean, I would be in the PR office of that, like, okay, this is what we play for,
guys. This is a whammy.
This is the absolute ultimate challenge.
You're trying to get on the playlist?
That's like that happens and you're like, all right, this is the biggest. You do the rousing speech at the PR firm at that moment.
This is the greatest
crisis. I need all hands on deck because today's a day that we're going to look back on and we're going to know the choices we made.
Chaz and Howard are not going down with those towers.
And it's like, and Dean. And also Dean.
And that's right. There is a third one.
There is a.
And there was a third plane. I'm just saying.
Wait a minute. So one of the planes was Phillips. One of the planes was Craig.
And the one that hit the Pentagon was Dean. Yeah. He got off course.
Yeah.
He couldn't even.
Steal Dean, the deal. Come on.
Dean.
Sorry.
No, he's half-assing it.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
There was almost some subversive preaching against racism from within the church. Mm-hmm. In this song. Some talk about religion, some preach about sin, some assume denominations are the way to get in. Don't think your brother has to have the same skin. So that feels like...
I love how they hate racism. They hate it.
They do.
Well, this is kind of the corner.
They know it hurts their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The racism hurts their numbers.
True.
They're trying to do numbers.
You can hear
them trying to transition, you know, out of white Christian music into like a more diverse... They're like, we're trying to form. They look at their crowds and they're like,
their fifth album is Afro-Cuban.
They
pop.
Look at it's their like, crowds. They're like, we're sick of having to wear sunglasses because our crowds are so white. They want to just diversify. They're like, come on, we can just all together.
They're businessmen.
I mean, that to me is, I like it. Whatever. I like it. Wow. They're unironically like it.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
What's not to like?
I can tell because this is my second listen. And the first listen, I was like, all right, I got to turn this off. But this time I was like, I got to turn it back on.
I got to turn it up.
I got to turn it up.
DJ, turn it up.
Turn it back on.
There's just something about the headphones that I think changes
maybe,
the song.
Maybe
sometimes.
That's it.
Because I've had that experience a lot of times.
I might
with this listen, show or just oh, in yeah. life? Wait a minute.
I might listen on the treadmill. I'm going to yeah. see what happens.
I'm like, I hope I never have to hear this song again. And then Kevin pops it into these headphones and now I'm grooving. I'm yeah. doing my couch dance.
I juice the headphones with a certain serum in the right and left can. Yeah.
Wait, no drugs for me, sir, please.
Why?
I'm a Christian.
What? You should be ashamed.
I am ashamed.
Oh, no.
Wait.
I am.
Hold on. Play that song.
There you go, girl. So proud.
I'm praying.
I love it. I want to hear the remix with.
Yeah.
I want to hear the Cardi B lyric.
And I'm proud, and I'm proud.
Certified freak.
So proud to be a Christian.
I was like, I can't even do.
Yeah, do we all want to take a crack at a Cardi
Doing
B
a Cardi
impression?
B.
I
real
have
quick?
A hard
a
out.
Rap.
Yeah, I also
Ew,
have to go.
Your pants. I recommend this album. This is from an album called Trust, which of course has. Wait, I have to play it every time we talk about them, Caroline.
Yeah.
But it has this song on it, a song called You Don't Have the Right, which is an extended
Alice,
metaphor.
Wait till you hear this one. You thought that was good?
This might be my baseball walk-up song.
You don't have the right to remain silent if you've been arrested by God's grace. You gotta take the stand to tell
Holy
the
shit.
Story of how your guilty stains have been replaced. Oh, everything you've done has been erased by the evidence of love. So you don't have the right.
You don't have the right.
And you can listen to that on the home.
So good. I get so hyped.
From that song? I know, man.
Time.
Any excuse we have to bring it up on the show.
We didn't even talk about how tight their harmonies are.
They're so tight.
They're one voice.
I didn't put it together like Alice did, that it's a little Michael McDonald energy. Three McDonald's. Had a charm.
Can you dream?
Yeah, yeah. Whoa.
There's this song that I want to play for you guys.
What's it called?
I truly believe that you'll appreciate. I play this song for a lot of people, and a lot of people kind of just don't. But I feel like the vibe of this show has been so chill. Let me try to find it, because I can never remember.
We'll corn it up.
What the name is called?
The name of the song or the artist. Let me think of some of the lyrics.
So we don't have the name. We don't have the artist.
I don't have the artist, and I don't have any of the lyrics.
Okay.
And it is on Spotify. So we'll just cut
this out. Well, let's just go through Spotify real quick and just browse.
Just play every song.
We'll play every song until we find it.
She's got it. Give her a second. It's going to come
cook.
To her. She's done this before.
Well, she's the one with the heart on in 10 minutes.
I know.
Yeah. So.
Maybe the heart on is when she plays the song.
Oh. Okay, I got it.
That's what that means. Uh-huh. I told you. She's going to get it.
We finding it? Are you texting someone to figure out what the song is?
I want you to know that I could.
Okay.
I'm going to take this moment to
let's give our
the Starbucks summer adventure game.
What? Wait, is everyone just playing a game on their phone? Wait, what am I supposed to do?
You're kind of slacking off.
Well, I guess I'll give my closing
Martin,
thoughts.
Here we go.
Okay.
NOAKES.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 9/11 Building 7.
That's right. And okay. I want you guys to listen to this. And if you aren't moved,
there's a million reasons why I don't believe it. There's a million reasons why it can't be true. Open fire can't melt steel. It's not hot enough. It's nothing new, it's not a mystery. Check out the Reichstag Germany. There's a million questions still remain unanswered. There's a million questions still to be resolved.
million. Wait, just wait. Slim guys, seven still remain alive. It's nothing new, it's not a mystery. Check out the USS Liberty. 9/11, 9/11. What went down with Building 7? It's a mystery to this day. The building fell.
Like the towers, it just fell. Like the towers, it just fell.
Okay, okay, okay.
Nowhere hot enough to bring it down.
And you didn't remember any of the lyrics to this song?
Yeah, I find that shocking.
I played it for like the group, the like actors on Resident Alien, and people were like, ooh. And I'm like, yeah, ooh. But also, but, what the fuck? And also, Journey, it's fucking,
it slaps so hard when that drum kicks lush. In.
Wait, so I just, hang on, I just need to, and we have to wrap it up because of your hard on.
Questions.
But this gentleman, this artist's other top stream songs on Spotify are 9/11 Building 7, which we were just listening to, The Trial of Tony Blair, I Don't Believe That Man Went to the Moon, and 9/11 Building 7, So Out There Mix.
It's a conspiracy theorist who writes these weird journey.
Are we sure it's
songs.
Not a satirist?
This guy totally
I've been duped before.
I know, but I don't think so.
You
my
think
friend
so?
Tyler found it. I got to give a shout
out God.
To Tyler, third base
what?
For the Naturals.
The computer lies. Everything is okay. Parentheses. Don't take the swine flu jab. All right. We gotta wrap it up. Which is the worst Christian song of all time between these two? Between Christian and I'm Not Ashamed.
I'm Not Ashamed easily.
Yeah.
I think we can.
The Splooge Boys didn't do it this
no,
one.
They
both splooged themselves.
They phoned that shit in. They phoned it in.
They were sleeping through
they
this
phoned
one.
Phoned it in. It feels written by AI.
Mm. Wow. And that is the worst
exactly.
thing you can say?
They didn't get a single Swedish person involved in that beat.
They couldn't make a long distance call once.
Hello.
To get help
from Lars.
Hello,
I agree.
Lars.
I agree. It was sort of a fool's errand to go against Chaz Dean and
yeah,
his
Chaz
squad.
Dean and his
Chaz and his brothers. Absolutely. You're never going to beat them.
So we're saying, I'm not ashamed. You are the worst Christian song of all time for this week. You are the champion.
I made you a champion.
Damn.
Fantastic.
Damn. All right. And with that, now, Alice, we're going to take it down. A little bit.
All right.
Bring it to a different kind of space, a more solemn space, a more worshipful space. We are going to, you know, dim the lights in here.
Oh my God, he really did dim
light
them.
The candles. And on other shows, you may promote
oh God,
yourself.
There's so many candles.
Or your own projects. But
I can't breathe.
We're not here to do that. We're here to lift those things up to the Lord.
Okay.
Including something you're enjoying in the secular culture. The last great thing you watched, that you saw, that you read, that you listened to. And we'll start with Caroline.
I am not ashamed over at Caroline's Farts, where you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, even TikTok on occasion. She posts. I started listening to Julia Louis-Dreyfus's new podcast. It's called Wiser Than Me. Mm-hmm. And she only interviews older women, like 70 plus, but famous women.
Oh, amazing.
And it's actually...
I got a heart out.
Kevin's yeah, got I bet on. You do. It's really good, and she's a great interviewer. And she interviews the person, and then at the end of the episode, she always calls her mom to talk about it with her. And anyway, it's introduced me to a lot of women I didn't know about who are famous in their own right, and I just really liked it. So I'd recommend giving it a listen.
Fantastic.
Wiser Than Me.
The notorious JLD.
Yeah, who I love.
Yeah, can't, who wouldn't?
Can't get enough of her.
We turn to Alice.
Generational wealth.
You're still Alice.
FYI.
A leg up, but
a leg.
I'm not mad about it.
A leg up, but a leg that I love to look at and lick.
Man.
My name is Alice Wetterland, which is my first and last name. What? And you can find me on all the platforms that way.
You can go
TikTok,
ask
Instagram, Twitter, Mastodon.
Blue Sky.
And I'm not on Blue Sky. And
Letterboxd.
And mostly fans or Mostly Fans is found on Patreon/AliceWetterlin. So you can go there and you can subscribe to my podcast as well as Treks in the City. You can subscribe to both there. Also, I listened to the audiobook version of Sam Irby's new book. Samantha Irby wrote this book called Meaty, and she's a TV writer. She's been on, she writes on Sex and the City, and her new book is flawless. Like, I would call it a, like, I like books of essays, but not, it's not my favorite book to listen to. And her other books were good, but this is fantastic. Ooh. It's called Quietly Hostile. Yeah, it's amazing. I can't recommend it enough. And her reading, she reads her own audiobooks, so and her voice is great. So, Samantha Irby, Quietly Hostile.
Quietly Hostile. Thank you, Alice. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. Peloton, Instagram, Letterboxd, OnlyFans. And I will... It's not funny. Stop laughing.
It's actually really seriously upsetting.
No, I'm sorry.
You're a singer!
But also a winner.
Wow, thank you. You know what? I'll do two plain takes. Because nice. I was traveling a little bit this weekend, and two things I watched on the plane. Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to just be up there in the sky. Two things I watched on the plane that really did it for me. One, Steve Jobs. The movie Steve Jobs. I love it.
Ashton Kutcher?
No.
Or the Fassbender one?
The Fassbender one.
You have to clarify.
No, true. I don't. What do you mean?
I don't know the title of those movies.
I think one of them is Steve, and the other one's called Steve Jobs.
And I'm supposed to keep that straight.
In these titles.
I'm busy.
One of them has Seth Rogen saying, acknowledge the Apple II team, and one of them doesn't. And that's a big difference.
That's true.
Wait, can I run this by you, Alice? Is this a good Seth Rogen laugh? For real, I'm going to do it for real.
I'm going to look away.
Okay. Close your eyes.
I did it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great.
I think it's all right, it's really good.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I watch, Girls. I watch Girls on the plane. I started Girls for the first time.
HBO's Girls?
HBO's Girls. It's good. No, I'm not hearing this.
All right. I think season one was good.
I'm watching season one.
Okay.
And a stranger, a gentleman next to me got to watch Adam Driver railing into Lena Dunham in episode
two. You're welcome, gentlemen.
Yeah. It's kind of a net positive
My friend
for the
has
plane.
A dog that looks just like Adam Driver. Just like Adam Driver.
Okay.
It's really
Is the
funny.
Dog single?
I honestly, his name's Toaster, and I think he...
Are you single?
Toaster? I could be.
You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere, patreon.com/goodchristianfun, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate a dollar to charity. Alice, thank you so much
for having me.
Thank you for having me, guys.
And there's nothing left to say except for...
Okay, I love you, Emma. Amen.
And also, check out Maisel Goy's coming out very soon.
Oh, so soon. Little teaser.
Probably next week.
Now watch this drive.
And let's go out with...
Believe After Love, the 9/11 song.
Yeah.
Oh, we can do
that.
The
song that's about 9/11, for sure.
Absolute.
The prophet.
Mrs.
The prophet
Moonstruck herself. Yeah.
This must have felt so scary for her because she knew what was going to happen.
Do you want to hit the goalpost
so
with this?
All right. So this song has just come out recently, and it's about something happening in the future. I don't know what it is, but you're going to like it. It's Cher's new song, Believe. So take a listen here and see if you can see what's coming up in the future. I'm a little worried, and I'm making a bunker. But you don't have to, but you could. Anyway, here you go, Cher.
Such a fun worst thing to do. Keep
pushing me. I'm gonna get to the chorus.
That's what I'm gonna do on my podcast now.
You should.
It's goal posting. I love that. Here we go.
Do you feel this and not to believe? I'm a missing link inside a set.
We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.